rational.
We can discuss it in the, let's say, rational way. Yeah.
Have you been shocked by what has taken place?
Of course, as millions of people in my country.
Do you think the protests will continue?
I hope so, despite of the very, very brutal, very aggressive pressure that we have from the top.
Did you flee because of what's taking place?
In fact, I don't want to talk about it too much.
Ilya Budryatskis, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Ilya Budryatskis is Russian historian and political writer, author of Dissidents Among Dissidents, Ideology, Politics, and Left in Post-Soviet Russia. That does it for our show. Check our website for jobs. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe.
This is KBOO Portland.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO.FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. My name is Cecil Prescott, and I will be joined by my co-host Celeste Carey. And today is the 7th of March. It is about 8:01 a.m. And our numbers are 503-231-8187. I pause because usually we have it posted on the wall here in the studio, and it's not there. So I hope I gave you the right number. So give us a call to let us know how you are and what is happening. Today, as I mentioned, is March 7th. Tomorrow is March 8th, which is the day in which we celebrate International Women's Day. This month, March, is one in which we observe the achievement and focus on women. Women History Month. And so it's an important time to stop and reflect how our world and our society more particularly, but also our world are impacted by the role and the influence of women. Today is also a few days before Oregon and Washington lifts its mandatory mask mandates on March 12th, which will allow people the option to not wear their mask on indoors and places. And finally, how can we avoid the fact that there is war in Europe? A million and a half refugees in a little more than a week. Some are displaced internally, and many have found their ways to other countries on the continent of Europe. The prospect, it's no longer the prospect, but the reality of war in Europe has taken center stage in the world's attention as we ponder whether or not how it will continue to impact our country and indeed the world. Some little things, not little, but some things that related to that is the economy, how the economy has changed and inflation has become a very real reality for most people here in the United States. And with the debate on whether or not to ban the import of oil from Russia, it may continue to have an impact on how we live in our society, how we drive, and the course of living generally. All of this is to say that are you familiar with the doomsday clock? Began shortly after World War II, where scientists adapted the doomsday clock as a way to reflect on how close we are to a world-changing impact in terms of war. The nuclearization of many nations in the world mean that many people, we all, live in fear of destruction. For a few years now, the doomsday clock has been stuck at 100 seconds to midnight. That occurred to me to think about that when I heard about how the Russians took possession of the infamous nuclear plant in Ukraine, and the reality that we are living in dangerous times. I toss out a few topics that have been in the center of my attentions these past few days, and we'll let Celeste settle, and she can also share some of her perspectives. But first, I also want to recognize International Women's Day is tomorrow, and this is International Women's Month. And perhaps you can share something about what that means to you, if it means anything. I'm sorry, Celeste.
No, I was just listening and thinking, one of the things I had been pondering is a T-shirt that I think I used to see in the 2020 season, and it was "The Future is Female." And I was thinking about how many women were in some prominent positions, especially with the possibility of having another woman appointed to the Supreme Court. And the fact that we had a woman VP, and we have some prominent women in Congress, both good and bad examples of leaders, you know. And I was laughing at a thought that had crossed my mind, because we also had some women who were in the news, you know, for, like I said, not the best behavior, not just our federal electeds, but some businesswomen, what is her name, Elizabeth Holmes, who had Theranos, the company that's was on trial for various levels of fraud. And then there was Ghislaine Maxwell and a few others. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I guess, you know, women are people. But I was celebrating the fact that we had so many prominent positive examples of woman leadership. And so here it is, 2022. And yeah, I still think the future is female. But I was thinking of when you were talking about the sanctions, and I was listening to Democracy Now, the last segment where the question was, how are sanctions affecting the ordinary people? And, you know, based on the idea for topics that you had, two things occurred to me. We got the mask mandate being lifted, and the question is, are you ready? And then we have the embargo and shunning of Russian goods on the marketplace. You know, there's, I mean, a very low-level boycott is of the vodka. You know, people are pouring out Stoli and a few other things, you know, or shunning oil, even though the price is rising, you know. The concern is, are we as Americans ready for that high price of oil? And the reason I kind of compared and contrasted those two things is both of those are major stressors for the American psyche. Mask mandates have caused people to literally lose their mind and end up in jail and assaulting each other. And the price of oil, I don't know if this generation is in the least ready for it. Back in the 70s, we had to queue up for oil. Yes. And according to your license plate, that determined what days you could buy gasoline, you know. And being able to freely move about is as much a piece of the American DNA is apple pie and baseball.
You know, one thing that you mentioned in terms of contrasting these times as to the 1970s and 80s, and in terms of the impact of our economy and how we are unprepared to return for older people, but to experience for the first time living in times where we are challenged by inflation, which is something which is uncommon for that, but not uncommon, but something, the rate of inflation has risen to such a degree that it's noticeable and impacting people's
pocketbook.
Unlike that experience of the 70s or the 80s. And, you know, it just occurred to me, one of the, this will tell me how old school you are. One of the, in the 1970s, in addition to gas lines and which days you should take, you could line up to buy gasoline for your car, a former president in an address to Congress forecast his attempt to address the problem of inflation by having a button that says "Win, whip inflation now," and that was the center, I suppose, of former President Gerald Ford's economic plan. But things are very different these days, and we are living in a new world. Also, you were mentioning in terms of I'm interested in also in terms of how people will live or move towards the new reality of the ending of mask mandates. And, you know, somewhat I joke to myself and to some people that you might be familiar that there was this truck caravan.
Oh yeah, from, the failed caravan
from the West Coast to Washington D.C. And you know, I sort of like, you know, and not that I'm sympathetic with you people, but you know, I guess the emphasis was on they want their freedom and the end to government regulation on mask mandates. And you know, for most of the country, there are no mask mandates. So their travel to the seats of power was a bus almost. I'm told that afterwards they chose, decided not to go into D.C. proper because of fear that there might a recreation of the insurrection on January 6th. So they just drove outside around the city, I guess, on the interstates in circles. So
in circles. I mean, that's one of those perfect metaphors, you know. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, I guess the question for me, like I said, is, are we ready for this particular change? Now, you had DeSantis with his ill-timed statements, you know, criticizing the high schoolers because they wore masks. And then
about bullying.
Well, and then you have, you know, the concern that not having masks might cause us to kind of revert, although the numbers are dropping, Omicron and some of the older variants, the numbers are dropping, and no new one has really gained any major prominence. But I just wonder, are people ready for that? Because that requires a whole bunch of tolerance with basically idiots who are going to want to question who are going to want to question you publicly about why you're wearing a mask, or might be upset that you aren't wearing a mask and you're too close to them. Right. And like I said, that coupled with the fact that we are not used to having all of these restrictions on us at one time. I mean, it's been minimally 30 years since we've had any major constrictions on us, or restrictions, mask mandates aside. And so I'm just wondering, you know, how are folks ready?
Well, that occurs. I mean, I wondered, you said it's been 30 years in terms of restrictions, and are folks ready? You know, I remember, it must be a couple of decades ago, when there was a move to make mandatory for children to wear seat restraints and seat belts. And then there was a move to mandate it for all people riding in motor vehicles. And there was an upcry about, I am a free individual and no one should make me to wear a seatbelt. And now?
Well, yeah, and now people are wearing them as a matter of routine. But that was back in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was. But just in terms of how we alter our behavior, and how something that which is so controversial at some point in time, we don't even think about it now. And so when a police officer stop you and cite you for not wearing a seatbelt, I wonder how many people say, I am free to wear a seatbelt. I don't know.
Well, see, that's because here in the United States, one of the things that we didn't do, which fascinates me, is articulate this whole idea of public health and public hygiene is something we all need to do. Because that's the whole thing, is like all for one, you know. And
that's a key point. Yes.
And we don't articulate it like that. And I've always been curious as to why we haven't, because it would help us become, what's the word I want? I'm looking for a 10-cent word instead of a $5 word. Well, it would help us consciously become used to it.
Yes.
You know. And we would become familiar and used to it and do it as a matter of practice. Point in case, as a rule, when most people sneeze, they will cover their face or, you know, put their face in their arm, crook, you know, something. When most people cough, not everybody, of course, you know, when people yawn sometime or whatever, they'll cover their mouth. And that is still something we kind of do. Not just in polite company, but, you know, just in public. Now, I'm not saying everybody does it. I know there are lots of folks who don't. You know, you don't need to castigate me here.
But I think that's an important point you made in terms of shaping it in terms of public health. So the question is not so much, and I love that example of what do you do when you sneeze? And we do it, you know, as you said, not to be polite, but also because we're concerned about the people around us and we don't want to spread our germs towards other people. And, and that might be, and that's, for me at least, is why people wear masks. It's not, in part because it's not because it's not only good for me, but it's also because it might be helpful to you, my neighbor. And one of the things that we will continue to face as we lift mask mandates is that we ought to want to make sure that as many people as possible are safe. And just as you suggested, we cover our mouths when we sneeze, it might be helpful to wear a mask because you do not know who is around you and whether or not they might be protected because of their health status from sharing the same air or germs
or whatever
with you. And so it's, you know, that person may have a health condition which make them more liable to fall victim to some disease. So we might, for our neighbor's sake, we might want to wear a mask.
Well, you know, let's get folks involved in the conversation. You know, we've got three topics we're kind of bandying around. Give us a call, 503-231-8187 here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area. In Philomath and Corvallis, it's 104.3. And in White Salmon, Washington, and Hood River, Oregon, it is 91.9. And, of course, at www.kboo.fm. And while we're, you know, getting those numbers out for you, I also want to drop something else connected to those numbers. We're in the midst of our winter drive. All thrills,
yes.
No frills, you all know. Thrills. That means we're just giving you all the cream from the top. And if you appreciate the fact that this has been your community partner, your COVID partner, your creative partner, you know, support us so that we can stay strong and vital for you. We have a goal of $15,000. You can be a part of that. If you want to see what we're doing and how to become a member, you go to www.kboo.fm. At the top, you'll see a button that says donate. And you can click on that and find out what's going on. If you want to learn more about the All Thrills, No Frills, you go to kboo.fm/thrills, T-H-R-I-L-L-S, and see the schedule. But make sure you look at how much you are able to support us and do your part, please. If you've already become a member, if you've already increased your membership, then the next thing you can do is tell a friend or family member, you know, someone in your circle, and get them involved as well. Make your donation even stronger by adding to your numbers. All right.
So much so.
So, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask, you know, a lot of times when we talk about bans and what have you, and, you know, the fact that we're boycotting certain products or what have you. Excuse me. We get a lot of support. Excuse me. Some folks are kicking in by, as I said, banning or getting rid of Russian products, vodka being one of them. But one of the things I found really interesting, however, was the fact that we want our cheap oil. You know, I've seen pictures of gasoline going for well over $6 a gallon. And here in the Pacific Northwest, our gas prices are high. I was surprised many times when I would go down to California to visit family or on my way on a trip and I'm driving and I would see our gas prices are higher than California. You know, you have an expectation that, you know, the era of the state of Hollywood. And yeah, I know Hollywood's not a state, y'all. I'm just, you know, a little piece of hyperbole. Yeah. but, you know, the state of Hollywood, you would expect maybe it might be expensive. But one of the things that really surprised me is the fact that I think it was Shell was actually buying cheap Russian oil and unapologetically buying it. So I found that really interesting and wondering how many people are going to bite the bullet and go buy that that cheap gas from Shell if it's cheap. You know, but give us a call, 503-231-8187, and we'll go to Joan. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. One of my favorite programs. Thank you. So anyway, you were talking about people who don't want the government telling them what to do, like wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, of course, in Asia, it's very common for people to wear a mask if they
yep.
have a cold, something like that, if they're going on a public bus or something. The other thing, I think that some of these folks who don't want the government telling them what to do are very happy to tell other people what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Don't have abortions and don't let your kids have trans treatments and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. And they're very militant about it.
Yes.
So I don't know. I sense a little discrepancy there. As far as the interest rate thing is concerned, my two cents is it's about time that people who depend on having savings in the bank can get more interest on their savings, especially
yes.
older people.
Yes.
You know, your CD is nothing. It's like you have to pay the bank to keep your money.
Right.
yeah.
The way my dad, you know, was able to accumulate some savings was that interest used to be around at least 7% or something like that. And so he would work and he'd put his money in the bank and he'd get some interest for it. That's not true anymore. And
no,
I don't
that's
think
right.
So the people who are concerned are the investors and so on, and everything's going towards the investors. And as far as inflation is concerned, let's look about the fact, and I've said this about a million times, that Oregon seems to be for sale to the highest bidder, and that people are coming in and jacking up the rent as high as it can go, and they're calling it the rule of the market or something.
Right, whatever the market will bear.
Mm-hmm. And when people talk about, oh, people can't afford food and gas, what's really pushing people literally out of the door of their own houses is the housing market and the rents. Mm-hmm. The price of gas going up is nothing compared to the price of housing. And, you know, with climate change, I think gas is on the way out and we're going to have to pay more for it, and that's the way it is. And since I want to keep my 20-year-old car running, I guess I'm not going to go for the cheapest possible gas. I would rather have good old regular. But, you know, we're all going to have to go to public transportation at some point.
If I'm in public transportation, that means I'm wearing a mask.
Well, I haven't ridden a bus for years. And the whole thing is, yeah, I don't know what to say about Putin and that whole thing. It's bad news. But I'm also worried about nukes, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do, you know, what people are going to do about the gas situation, because using electric cars at this point requires lithium mining, which is also highly toxic.
Mm-hmm.
I know people are working on this.
Yes.
But
yes.
Anyway, that's my two cents about some of the topics. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to do this.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Well, you know, everything's a trade-off.
Yes.
And we forget that sometimes, you know. If we're not spending that much money on driving, that means it's going to be carpooling, ride-sharing, and mass transit. Mass transit with no mask mandates makes me a little anxious, and I have taken mass transit, public transit, recently. You know, I'm good for it. I enjoy it sometimes, but it has its own challenges. And that doesn't mean that the price for it won't go up.
Right. Well, of course, the gas of the price for oil.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, even electricity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't have as many wind or solar avenues as we should or could, that means a lot of ours is hydro.
Yes.
Created electricity. And with the water tables being disputed over and dropping like they are, because I think it was Oroville Dam last summer shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And that fried, pun intended, a lot of people. And it was really interesting because I called my sister because she lives in a suburb of Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking, did that affect you? She said, well, it would, except we have solar panels. And, you know. And so they had some brownouts and blackouts, and the neighbors wondered how come her house was the only one with lights on.
Right.
She's saying, well, solar panels, you know, and
right.
Where she lives, they try to be snooty because, well, melanin in her skin.
Mm-hmm.
But I was laughing. I said, if I had seen one house lit, I'd have been trotting over there for some hot water for some coffee or tea.
At least.
You know, like, hi, neighbor, how you doing?
Indeed.
But anyway, you know, that's a whole different element of sociological communication going on there. It's a whole different topic.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, we mentioned among the topics was Women History Month, and you mentioned, you know, prominent women and the fact that, you know, that if Ketanji Brown Jackson, is that her name?
I believe so.
If the Senate confirmed her, that we will have 4 out of the 9 justices on the U.S. Supreme Court will be women. And that is significant. It wasn't, some of you who are old can remember when Sandra Day O'Connor was first nominated by Ronald Reagan to sit on the Supreme Court, and that was in the 1980s. And the fact that we will now have almost half of the Supreme Court justices women, I think is significant in many ways. And the fact, I think, is that among the concerns that the Supreme Court will address is women's right to choose in the next in the months coming ahead. I think it is only right that among those who are making the decisions are the women.
Well, of course, you know. But you know, even though if Ketanji Brown Jackson is appointed, we'll only have 4 sitting. Because Ruth has transcended.
Yeah, I said 4.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. My bad. I thought I heard you say 5.
No.
Yeah, there will have been 5, though, you know, total, which is still historic. It took forever to get that way,
No,
though.
It's been 6 with Sandra Day O'Connor.
Okay, Ruth, Sandra. Oh, that's right.
And
that's right. I forgot.
Theory.
Yeah, okay, 6. And then Sonia, Elena, and Amy.
Yes.
Okay. 6 is not bad. Although it's taken how many years?
Yeah, 6 out, yeah, over 200 years out of what, 170, 180?
Something
people
like that.
Sat on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And let's see. So, yeah, we have 1 Latina out of, you know, dozens of appointees. If the current Biden, if Ketanji Judge Jackson is selected, then they will, three of those who have sit on the Supreme Court would have been African American.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there have been no Asians on the Mm-mm. Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt if there have been any indigenous people Mm-mm. on the Supreme Court. Mm-mm. So, and I think at least eight of the Supreme Court justices, current Supreme Court justices, if not all nine, would have been graduates from Harvard or Yale, mm-hmm. something like. So,
yeah,
we have a lot to do go for in terms of expanding the life experience and perspectives on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, we want to hear your comments because, as you know, Cecil and I can talk. We can talk, but we want to discuss with you. The number is 503-231-8187, and join in the conversation here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, here on More Talk Radio. So, what was it? We talked about the mask mandates.
Women.
No, it was something else you had mentioned, and I wanted to kind of tackle that. Oh, I can't remember it right now. But I'm curious, and maybe nobody really cares because they just want gasoline and they don't care. But with all of the boycotting efforts and embargo efforts and sanctions going on, as I mentioned, Shell Gas has been trying to buy up cheap Russian oil, and they may or may not pass the price decrease on to the rest of us. They may figure, well, we might have got it cheap, but we can charge more because that's what the market will bear. And you know, it just seems an interesting counterpoint to the fact that folks are trying to do grassroots sanctions as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I wonder how many folks are going to run to this particular gas station, the company who's buying the oil, if they're going to run to this station and try to take advantage of any price decrease, if there is some. Mm-hmm. But I know here in Portland, they're saying that the average gas price has jumped about 48 cents, 50 cents, and that's a considerable amount of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially when one of the things that we're finding is folks are getting a little bit more wages, but even though there's been a lot of vacancies and help wanted posted, folks are not taking or getting some of these jobs. But I don't know. I mean, it's a delicate balance. Wow. You hear that unemployment has dropped, but I'm not so sure that is how that's translating for the average person here in Portland, because if your salary did increase a little bit, but your gasoline has increased and your rent has increased, you know, how are you managing it? Are you going to find you had to cut corners on some things?
Part of the official storyline is that that employment is up and that wages have surpassed or equal to the inflation rate. So people, the party line, you know, is that people are employed and that wages are up. But it is wiped out because of the rate of inflation. So the question I think I heard you saying in part was whether or not people are actually keeping up with inflation. Are you running in place and actually losing ground? And I think many people would say that, yeah, I am. I'm not getting ahead. And I'm barely holding on to what I have.
Well, then that you know, like I said, that brings to question something that may not even matter to folks. And that's my wondering if if people are caring, even if it even matters to the folks that while they're trying to boycott Russian products, you know, you got gas companies buying cheap Russian oil, or are we like going to compromise our values and think, you know what, I just need some cheap oil in my car so I can get to work so I can make some money.
Yeah, and you know, and that's one of the things that I heard, is there's a greater consensus in the U.S. Congress to for them to ban Russian oil. And people such as the fine senator from West Virginia said, I'm willing to pay more for gas if we ban oil from Russia. And this is the same senator who to a large degree killed the president's economic plan. Yeah, because he was saying it, you know, might create, and you know, it's bad for the economy.
Yeah. But you know, this, making jobs is bad for the economy.
But this very wealthy man from West Virginia saying that he's willing to pay more for gas.
I'm sure his constituents were overjoyed. Mm-hmm. Well, we're hoping you're overjoyed with your connection to KBOO. Are you enjoying the programming? Do you like our specials? Do you wait eagerly for the news and public affairs and programs about art and food and bicycling? Well, support it. How can I support it? You can support it by texting the letters KBOO to the number 44321. And then follow the directions and give as much as you can afford. Show your appreciation. You could start by looking at maybe an hour of your wage or some fraction thereof, you know, and contribute that on a monthly basis as a sustaining member. It's real easy. All the directions are there. So if you are on the move, on the go, possibly even on public transportation, you can text KBOO to 44321.
Excellent. That All right. is so important. So, you know, we've been surfacing around the reality that we are, in fact, in this very dangerous time in terms of the world, in terms of the new Cold War. The doomsday clock is at 100 seconds before midnight, and in 1991 it went down to 17 minutes before midnight, and that was the time when the old Soviet Union collapsed, and we thought that the world had entered into a new stage of working together. The reality is that we continue to live in dangerous times, and something that many of us who are older thought was something in the past is a reality for all of us now. And the fact, unfortunately, I think, but that's another argument, that, you know, there's war in Europe and people are suddenly concern about the welfare of those in the path of the war machines and its impact on the larger world community, is the reality that we have to live with. And so these are frightening times. And do people see a conclusion for the war in Europe, one in which people feel safe or not? And I could talk about the former president and his solutions to the war in Europe, but do you know about what the former president said?
Something about nuclear bombs?
No. Well, he said, And it's kind of hard to figure out whether, well, to understand him. He said that U.S. military should fly over Russia with Chinese, I guess, paste Chinese flags on the U.S. military. And so the Russia will be upset and think that China is attacking them, and then they will turn their attention to China, and so Europe will be free, and so you have a war between two nuclear powers, Russia and China. But that's, you know, what the former president said.
Well, I'm not being cavalier about nuclear bombs. I just saw something in passing in the news feed that mentioned Trump and well, WMD. So, yeah, I'm glad we not involved with his nonsense. Though I'm sad that the legal inquiry into his affairs ended and unraveled, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
So what do people think about the reality that there's war and impacting all of us? I actually usually avoid television and but I did have an opportunity to watch it yesterday, and I was, you know, just for an hour or so, it just seemed overwhelming to me in terms of the tragic events in Europe and how frightening it is.
Well, you know, I want to get back to what you said about the doomsday clock, and you know, 100 seconds, that's just a minute and a half, a little bit over a minute and a half. That's the closest it's ever been, I think.
Yes.
And the fact is that's maybe that's not relevant anymore, because so many things that we do on a regular basis affect us. I mean, the way technology is moving, at any given moment, something which seems benign could turn out to be dangerous.
Well,
case in point, people thought that the CERN collider was going to open a black hole on Earth, you know. So I wonder how many seconds it should have been set for that. Well, you know, and we set it during war, but war is not the only thing that's a threat.
Well, but the threat is that we have the climate.
It's a crisis. That too.
So let's go to our caller and see.
Good morning, Robbie. You on there?
Good morning. Yeah, what great topic. You know, it's really funny. I actually thought that the doomsday clock was at 2 seconds to midnight. So I kind of got some relief listening to it's actually, oh, wait, we have some more time.
Yeah, we got another 88 seconds there, or 98 seconds, yeah, something.
Right. Well, and it's funny because time's all relative anyway. So
yeah, especially lunchtime.
Right.
To quote from Hitchhiker's Guide. Yeah.
I like that. I just wanted to bring up, you know, it's a very uncertain time with this Cold War stuff. I just wanted to reiterate kind of like a point where I'm an anti-war activist. And so, you know, I think that understanding the entire situation is crucial in order to portraying an anti-war message. Mm. And, you know, and so a lot of times, and a lot of people, especially on the left who consider themselves anti-war, I find are kind of falling for war propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's flooding our airwaves right now with the ghost of Kiev, you know, what are they called? Ukrainian smoothies, which are like Molotov cocktail recipes. I see all this push for it. And what nobody's talking about is what led up to this crisis. And there's a great article on Counterpunch. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever read counterpunch.org.
Yes.
It's a pretty good progressive news site, but there's an article from March 5th, 2014, chronologically of the Ukrainian coup. And basically what it describes is how the U.S. State Department not only played a vital role in the violence and chaos that happened in Ukraine in 2014, but we also tried to overthrow certain individuals.
Hello?
You still there, Robbie?
Sorry about that. Anyway, there's... Hang on.
Hello? Okay, it's 8:52, so we kind of need... We want to make sure we get everybody in. Robbie?
Let's go to Colin.
Okay, we're going to go to Colin. Sorry, Robbie. Good morning, Colin. You're on the air.
Good morning. Well, you guys touch on so many things, you could do a whole show on each one of those subjects.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was kind of taught by my mentor to look for the silver lining in some things. I've been on the planet for 61 years, and every time there's a hike in the oil prices, people start to move towards other greener things, which that might be a good thing right there, that we all start moving towards greener ways of doing things, you know.
Yeah.
A lot more cars in production that are electric out there, and I have a son who's 13, who's obsessed with, you know, automobiles and all the new electrical car industry, and
right.
You know, so there's that going on, which hopefully that could help, you know. Not to undermine any of the suffering that's going on in Ukraine at this moment. The last caller actually was getting ready to touch on a really great subject about how we got where we're at, or how the Russians got where they're at, and the expansion of NATO and all those other things, that we have a tendency to make promises and, you know, forget about them. Seem to have a history of that, especially with, I think it started with Indian treaties in the back in the day. I'm not sure exactly how we expanded to where we're at today on those things. But I wanted to say something too about this mass thing. It's really fascinating, because I've worked with so many people. I have several family members work in the health industry, and we were talking about mandates, and I found it really fascinating how the idea, the underlying message I hear is, I don't want anyone to tell me what to do.
Right.
You know? And I was like, well, I understand that. I mean, who likes to be told what to do? And I work with someone who's very, you know, politically, you know, towards the right, and said, you know, I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. And I said, well, you know, that's your right. You live in a free country, right? And so yesterday you made the comment that, well, you know, maybe I'll just join the military, so if I have to go fight these Russians. And I said, well, I don't think we're going to be fighting the Russians in Ukraine. That's only a part of our policy, you know. And I said, but you do know, if you sign up for that particular part of our government, they'll be telling you what to do.
That's right.
You know?
And you have no recourse.
I tried to tell, I said, and you're actually their property at that moment.
Yes, you
know?
You are.
Yeah, and I said, so just try to keep things in perspective. And he goes, well, as long as I agree to it, you know, I'm okay with it. I go, that's a good point.
Mm-mm. No, he thinks he will. See, here's one of the things that they don't even think about. When you're their property and you're joining the military, for example, if you have children, you cannot be the guardian of your children. You have to sign guardianship over to somebody. How do I know? Not only was I in the military, but I was guardian to my niece when one of my siblings, was in the military. So, I mean, that's just one of the things you have to deal with.
So much for freedom of choice.
Amen.
Yeah, and I was trying to just bring, you know, I've learned this in my conversation the last several years, because I've actually had a daughter who quit being in the medical field because she's just tired of being harassed in her job. And that is, I said, you know, we have so many mandates already existing in our culture, whether it's the seat belts or the, you know, wearing a helmet if you're on a motorcycle. You could go down the list of all these. Going to school. You're supposed to go to school. Your mandate is to go to school. And then, finally, this guy, he's a young guy. He's in his 20s. And I said, you know, we do have mandates. I go, really, doesn't it, what it comes down to is you don't like very particular people telling you what to do, is what it comes down to. And it really comes down to the politics involved in it. And I said, there's so many cultures out there that would love to wear a mask to protect their community. They just do it. They're not asked to do it. They just do it. You know?
That's right.
And I said, unfortunately, we have a culture that is so politically divided that if somebody on the other side says there's a mandate, that's what you really, truly disagree with.
Right. But
Well, we got one more caller on the line, and it's 8:56.
All right. Well, you guys go.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
All right. We just got a few minutes, Francis, but you're on the air.
Hi. I guess that 100 seconds to doomsday just tells me that I need to be very good to the people I love and kind to the ones I don't know. Ooh. In the last 100 seconds I have left.
Yep.
Say that again. I like that.
I said I need to be good to the people I love and kind to the people I don't know.
That's so great. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And this whole war thing is just really heartbreaking to me, because I'm a child of the 60s. I was involved in the peace movement in, you know, the 70s and 60s and 70s. And real people, one thing about this Ukraine thing going on is that we're seeing what happens to people, just real regular people, when these war powers decide to drop their bombs. And the thing that bothers me the most about all this is that we weren't allowed to see what happened to the people in Libya. We weren't allowed to see what happened to them when they risked their lives to go across the Mediterranean in boats. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to see what happened to the quote-unquote middle-class people in Iraq when our bombs were bombing the Mujibis out of their country.
Yes.
But now we do see what happens, but it doesn't seem to make any difference. I was reading an article today, was written on March 4th. Lockheed Martin's stock went up 20% since this war started.
Which stock?
Lockheed Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And there's another article where Beijing is putting sanctions on Lockheed Martin and Raytheon because they're selling arms to Taiwan. It's all, to me, it's absurd. The whole thing is absurd. And the only people that are being hurt are real people. The corporations are making bank. And until we decide as a people to stop allowing corporations to have people status, nothing is going to stop. It's going to continue.
That's so true.
I don't think that that's out of our realm of possibilities to be able to do that if people could stop being afraid of the powers of these corporations, because right now that's what I feel is the problem. People are intimidated by it. They're afraid to say what it is.
Well, that's going to have to be our last statement because it's 8:59, and I thank you.
All right. Take care.
Oh, okay.
Your clock is wrong, Celeste.
My computer clock. Yeah. But I want to thank Francis. I want to reiterate what she said. You know, until we push our legislators to stop cowing to big business. I mean, Thomas Jefferson, for all of his ills, was really concerned about the status of corporations. And we have only duplicated that same activity here in this United States of America experiment. So the question is, how do we impress upon our electeds that they have to make a difference? So us everyday ordinary people, as she mentioned, need to figure out a strategy. And we need to stick with it. And we need to be willing to pay the price to get that change implemented.
Yeah.
You know, and that might mean giving up things like cheap oil and driving.
Yes. I think those are some decisions we have to make. And it's talk is cheap, but how do we impact and make meaningful difference, because it might mean that we have to do things differently. I'd be interesting, Francis and Nicola before that mentioned, in terms of, for me at least, I'd be interested in what would it look like? What does an anti-war movement look like now when there is so much war cry among those across the political spectrum? What is an anti-war movement looks like in these days? Maybe that's something we should explore in future weeks, because I think we'll be on this footing for a while. Tomorrow is International Women's Day, however, and I want us to recognize and celebrate women.
Yes, celebrate achievements, both small and great. So that means, you know, give your female relatives and friends an extra hug and an extra celebratory, you know, greeting. And also take the time to look at what women have done that's positive, that affects you directly. Look at that and see how appreciative you are. And also, you know, take advantage of all the programming that KBOO is going to offer, and be sure to support us in our All Thrills No Frills winter drive. Help us reach that $15,000 goal, and you can do that by either calling texting to 44321, the letters KBOO, or going to our website, kboo.fm, and donate. Or you could write Old School Way check and send it to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. This has been More Talk Radio. We want to thank you all for calling and supporting us. And stay tuned, because this is your community connection, KBOO Portland.
FM.